I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Marjorie Solona joins me now. Her debut novel, Why, has just been published, and it's been an eagerly awaited book. It was longlisted for the Scotiabank Giller Prize and has had terrific notices in this country. It is to be published in the United States in the new year, where Ms. Solona lives, in Cincinnati, in fact. She was, however, born and raised on Vancouver Island, where the book is partially set, outside the YMCA. A newborn baby is left behind by its troubled mother. Shannon, as she's later named, goes from foster home to foster home looking for answers, as well as a refuge from neglect and abuse. Her mother, Eula, a girl herself, has difficulties she's got to overcome. I'll get Marjorie Solona to tell us about the book, these characters, and the success of the book thus far, critical and otherwise. The website for more is at marjoriesolona.com. Why is published by Hamish Hamilton, an imprint of Penguin. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Marjorie Solona. Ms. Solona, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. How did you end up in Cincinnati?
Well, I took a sort of a circuitous route to get there. I left Vancouver Island in 2007 to attend the Iowa Writers' Workshop.
Right.
From there, I moved to Madison, Wisconsin. From there, I moved to upstate New York, where I taught at Colgate University for a year. And then I thought that I would go back to school, and so I enrolled in a PhD program at the University of Cincinnati.
So you've spent all this time in America, but Vancouver Island, that's still home for you, right?
You know, at this point, I'm not sure where home is. I think Vancouver Island will always feel like home, but I like to move around. I like to live in, well, so far it's been a different city every year. So, you know, I guess wherever I go, there I am. That's sort of my concept of home right now.
And is writing something that, I mean, I guess you can take it from place to place and do it anywhere you are. I mean, is that how you found it to be?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I wrote Why in the woods of upstate New York. So, you know, it was nice that in some ways the landscape mimicked that of Vancouver Island, but... Uh-huh. I mean, quite frankly, I think I could write anywhere. I mean, you're not looking at the mountains or the trees when you're writing. You're looking at the piece of paper in front of you.
Yeah. Now, Why had its genesis, I guess, in a short story you wrote a few years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So when did these characters, the characters in this book, when did they first come to you?
In my early 20s. I was working for the Malahat Review, which is the University of Victoria's literary magazine. And the Malahat Review uses I love typography, I love fonts, and they use a very beautiful font. And for whatever reason, I noticed that a lot of the stories that magazine publishes started with the letter Y, and it had sort of a beautiful, beautiful big drop cap, this beautiful Y.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at it, and I thought about the letter, and the first line popped into my mind, which is, my life begins at the Y. And after that, I just sort of felt like I had Shannon's voice in my head. She just sort of came out of nowhere after staring at the letter Y for a while. In terms of transforming it into a novel, the short story ends with Shannon finding the man who discovers her at the YMCA, a man named Vaughn,
yeah.
But she never finds her mother in the story. So in terms of then transforming it into a novel, it was just a matter of both me and Shannon finding her mother.
Yeah. Say, do you type on the, I guess you type on a computer to write, is that correct?
I do. I used to write longhand, but I've got terrible tendonitis in my left wrist. So I don't do that anymore.
Yeah. Do you type in a certain font?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
I was just wondering that, because you were talking about the typography in the Malahat Review.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that just as a writer, you probably want to look at a certain font while you're writing it.
I absolutely do. I always type in Garamond. But then the trick is when I'm editing, is to put it in a really ugly font, like maybe a sans serif font, or like Times New Roman, just something hideous, and make it a weird color and a weird size, because then you can actually really read your work, and you don't get distracted by, you know, how beautiful words look in Garamond.
Yeah. The opening passage in this book on the letter Y is particularly poignant. Could you tell us just about what fascinates you about that letter? I mean, you've already talked about what it looks like in terms of, you know, when you see the font, the particular font, but its meaning.
I like that it's a homonym. I like that the letter is also a word. I like all the different little symbols of Y that are in the world. There's just something about that letter that really appeals to me. And you know, the more I thought about the letter, I mean, that first paragraph was actually pretty easy to write. It's not like any of those things are all that peculiar. You know, there's the Y chromosome. It stands for yes. It stands for, you know, the question why. But you know, when I just sort of thought about it all together for this first time, that's when it kind of struck me as being interesting or multifaceted in a way that other letters perhaps, well, I mean, you know, other letters have got some things going for them too, but
yeah.
I have a special fondness for Y.
Yeah, I can't really think, I mean, the other 25 letters of a letter that means as much as Y.
I don't know. Maybe O is the only one, because then you can do the whole zero thing and circles and all that.
Yeah. So the book is about Shannon, this baby that's dumped at the YMCA.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not give away the book, because I haven't read it yet, obviously. But we learned throughout the book about what she goes through and what her mother, who leaves her there, what she goes through. I guess the chapters, they alternate between Shannon's story and Eula's story. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. These challenges that they both face, because I've read the reviews of this book, and they say that they're insightful, they're heartbreaking. You write with such beauty in this book. I'm wondering where these challenges that they go through, these characters, where did they come from? I mean, you likely didn't have this sort of childhood, right?
No, I wasn't abandoned by my mother. I didn't grow up in foster care. Where these characters came from, I actually don't know. They feel like, now that I'm not working on the book anymore, they feel like old friends or acquaintances who've, you know, emailed me and I've forgotten to email them back. Like, there's this sense of I owe them something, or I need to write them a letter.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't really actually know where they came from. I mean, Shannon, because it's in first person, Shannon's voice was just there. She was completely herself. I got to know the other characters by writing about them. You know, who are they? I don't know. Maybe they're people that I've seen. Maybe they're people that I encountered briefly and have since forgotten. I never write about anybody that I know for a number of reasons. But, you know, I wonder sometimes if they're, you know, in my subconscious somehow, somebody that I sat next to on the bus or something.
Yeah. Now, there was one review of the book, and she was praising the book a great deal because this book talks about adoption, something that we don't really talk about in society or in fiction, for that matter. Did you find that you needed to write about adoption?
You know, part of the reason that I think I did was one of my best friends growing up was adopted, and I was sort of fascinated by her and fascinated by her history and fascinated by the idea that, you know, your parents might not be your birth parents. So, you know, I guess those ideas have sort of been swimming inside my mind since I was a little girl.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I think it's I'm actually surprised that more hasn't been written about the topic.
Yeah, the more you think about it, the more you realize that there are a lot of children out there that are adopted, that go through foster homes and the sort.
Yeah, absolutely. Or people who, I mean, everybody knows somebody who's adopted, or the other thing is that you discover you have a relative that you didn't know about. I feel like that's sort of a common occurrence in a person's life too. You know, somebody discovers that they have an aunt that nobody talks about, or you know, a long lost sibling. I don't know. I find that concept sort of interesting.
Yeah. Another theme of the book is memory and misremembering. And I was just thinking about, we do both, don't we, in equal measure?
We absolutely do, and Shannon certainly does in the novel.
Yeah. When you're writing this book, because a few reviews actually call this book a real tearjerker, do you cry yourself while writing this?
Do I have to answer that?
I think you just did. I think you just did. Yeah. Yeah. But these reviews have been quite good. It must be gratifying to go on this book tour with all this critical praise under your belt already.
Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah. No, it feels great. It's really lucky.
Yeah. Do you think about the audience while you're writing this? Do you need to speak to someone or some segment of the audience, say?
I try not to. I mean, I think that when I'm really into it, I'm able to not think about it. But, you know, there's all those other hours in the day where you're grocery shopping or at the gym or whatever, and then, yeah, of course, then I start thinking about who's gonna read this. But I try never to think about that when I'm actually writing.
Yeah. And now that it's finished, now that you're out promoting it across this country on this big tour that you're on, do you think about who the book would be for? Like, do you have someone in mind that should read this book, say?
It's interesting. I was just asked that question by a man who attended one of my readings, and his little girl was with him. And I told him that I hoped that everyone would read Why, you know, even though it's got some difficult subject matter, you know, something that might be labeled, quote-unquote, unsuitable for children. I mean, I think that one of the most important times that you read in your life is when you're a child, and that, you know, kind of the more unsuitable it is, the more you want to read it when you're a kid,
yeah.
And perhaps the more you need to read it. So I think I would hope that Why would, you know, would find its way into the hands of a very young person. You know, at any age. I mean, I didn't write with sort of a target age in mind, though. I do hope that that young people will find their way to it.
And I guess it's a book too for males, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we haven't talked about some of the male characters in the book.
Nobody ever does, but they're there.
Yeah, and you mentioned Vaughn earlier, and then there's the dad, and then Eula's boyfriend, right?
Yes.
Yeah. There's a success of the book thus far, because, I mean, you're on this big tour. I mean, your publisher's promoting this. I mean, I read somewhere that they're promoting this like The Help, and the big push that book got. Are you enjoying it?
I am. It's very strange.
Yeah.
No, it's wonderful. I like to travel, and I like to travel by myself. So that sort of aspect of getting on a plane every day by myself and going somewhere new appeals to me personality-wise. I'm not used to talking to this many people every day. So that's been. I was just on television, for example, and that. I mean, that just felt so surreal. I thought I was dreaming.
Yeah. And then you get to meet readers along the way. I mean, that's fun, right?
I do. And that's, you know, that's the best part. That's absolutely the best part.
Yeah. When you're writing this, and it's just an awfully solitary experience to write, and now that you're out promoting it, when you were writing it and the ideas first, I guess, started germinating in your mind, did you foresee any of this that's going on now?
Oh God, no! I think I mostly thought about the opposite. I mostly thought I'm spending, you know, every day that I'm not working, I'm at home alone working on this book. You know, not seeing friends, not deepening relationships, like just, you know, in complete isolation. So no, I didn't foresee any of this. What I foresaw was sort of a much bleaker future in which I had, I had sort of squirreled away years of my life doing something that nobody would ever read.
But you knew you had a good story, right?
I don't think I would have been able to keep writing it had I not at some point. But, you know, it was up and down. I remember about 100 pages in just completely losing faith in it and being really upset with myself for wasting that much time writing those 100 pages. And for whatever reason, my faith got restored in the book, and I kept working on it. I kept working on it because I enjoyed working on it, and I was curious about the characters. I really did want to find Shannon's mother, and I was curious why she abandoned Shannon, and it was sort of fun to sit down every day and, you know, figure a little bit more out about each of these people.
And now that it's you've obviously, if you finished the book, you mentioned earlier that you still feel that these characters are with you, that you wanted to write them, say, or email them.
Yeah.
Do you feel the need to write about them again? Do you think you will?
No, I don't think I will.
Yeah.
I don't think I will. I don't think I have anything else to say about them. I also wouldn't. I don't want to write about them again. I mean, I love Shannon. I love Shannon so much. But you know, writing in first person, I don't know. It gets a little tiresome.
Yeah.
After a while, I'm pretty eager to try something completely different next time around.
Yeah. So, are you working on another book now?
I am, actually. Well, I don't have a lot of time to work on it now, but it's.
Yeah.
It's in my head, and I've started a first draft, and it's completely different from why.
Yeah. Now, the research involved in a book like this. I mean, did you talk to foster children? Did you talk to adopted children? Did you talk to mothers, say?
Yeah, absolutely. I talked to foster parents and social workers. I reconnected with that childhood friend who was adopted, and we talked at length. I did a lot of research for this book. Some of it really difficult. I think one of the hardest things to do was to call up a social worker who's really busy, obviously, and has more important things to do than to talk to me, and just ask him or her if she'll just talk to me for a couple of minutes. And in those couple of minutes, to use those couple of minutes really wisely, to ask the right questions. I felt like that was the hardest part of the research, was to absolutely get the most out of that person's time, which was difficult. I didn't always know what questions to ask or how even to go about doing it. You know, how do you just call somebody up and say, "Hi, I'm a writer. Can I ask you a few questions?"
Yeah. Now, you've met readers along the way thus far. You've read some of the reviews, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you make of the feedback that you're getting in terms of what readers' interpretations are of this book?
I'm really touched and quite moved by how positive the feedback is.
Yeah.
I mean, I. The book's obviously very, very special to me, so it means a great deal when it's special to somebody else. It means a great deal when somebody talks about my characters as though they care about them. I'm trying to think if anything has surprised me so far in any of the reviews. A few people talk about wanting to know more about Eula, which I think is sort of nice, because I worried that, well, I mean, in a lot of ways it's Shannon's book. I mean, it's her voice. She tells the whole thing, but I think it's nice that, even though they didn't necessarily mean that as a compliment, I thought that that was sort of lovely that they wanted to know more about Shannon's mother.
Yeah. Marjorie, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. I appreciate your time. Congratulations on this book, and continued good luck with it.
Great. Thanks, Joseph. This
is
fun.
The website for more, MarjorieSolona.com. The book is called Why. It's published by Hamish Hamilton, which is an imprint of Penguin. Its author, Marjorie Solona, on the line from Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plata.